Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pearly Gates Ministries with your host, the Reverend I Am Isman Dreaming. Pearly Gates is a Jesus-believing, faith-healing ministry, where it's more than just words. Today you can witness the power of Jesus Christ our Lord in your life. And now, God's man for this broadcast, the Reverend I Am His Man, Tremaine.
Give the Lord a praise. Say He is worthy. Amen. Worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here. Saints of God, glad to have you here in the name of Jesus. And today, we're talking about your faith and what will God do for you? What can He do for you? And what do you need to do in order to receive, you know, the things that God, you know, can and will and says that He'll do for you? And what does the Bible say about that? And always we go to the King James Bible. It's taken directly from the original text. The faith, so according to your faith, be it unto you. And the faith of Jesus, the faith that Jesus will pull you through any situation. I mean, no matter how bad your world might seem, you want to believe that Jesus will do what He said He would do. And the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. And so what are the terms? What do we need to do in order to get what we want? The Bible gives us all the answers we're looking for and tells us what we can expect from God's grace. The Bible says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So join us today and see what God why God wants the best for you in every situation. Amen. And that verse is he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So what he's saying, and the way to live by, is to live with love, to make your decisions out of love, treat people with love. You're right on track. If you can do that, you get past a lot of the confusing things about the Bible and how should I live and how should I conduct myself. But if it's in a loving way and you're putting Jesus first, you're on the right track. I mean, it's a pretty simple solution. And, you know, above all, God is love. Amen. The Bible says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And that's no joke. You have to take that very serious, that the devil is out there to mess up your world. When you don't see it, when you don't think it, he's there to mess things up. And people think about demon or devil possession, and they want to think of the movie The Exorcist. But demon possession is extremely, extremely common. And a lot, most people have it in some form or another and don't even realize it. They don't realize it, that they've taken the devil in certain ways, and he's in working against your life, you know, as we speak. But the power is in God. The power is in Jesus. He says that power of his name, hallelujah, the power to stop a storm, turn a storm into a calm day, turn a raging sea into a calm ocean. And that's what the power of Jesus, the power of the Lord can do. Amen. And that's harnessable. I mean, you can have that power in your life. And that's what's great about the Lord. And that's what's great about Jesus and the Bible and everything that He puts forth and to show us, is that He's active in your life. He knows who you are. And you know what? You can know that He knows that. And the way, and not guess, and the way that you do that is you got to get to the Lord. You got to bring Him into your life. Read your Bible on a daily basis and make Him part of your day. That's really how simple it is. But you got to make Jesus a part of your day. Talk to Him, pray to Him, but make Him active. Not just when something goes wrong and you need, and then you need Him, but always. And that keeps that faith up, you know, keeps that faith strong. You keep, you know, you can lose your faith if you stay away from Him, and then you're hoping and worrying and scared. But if you're always there and you're talking to Him, you have a constant stream of faith. And just when you need it, you're going to have it. Amen. And so, and it's so important to stay with it. And not only that, but that he'll use you in your life. If you're living for him, you're talking to him, he's able to talk to you, you're listening, and he's using you. He's using your life. If he's not, then you're not taking your time to spend with him. It really gets down to being that simple. It's a relationship. He says, you know, if you talk about me to your friends and your family and those that you know, I'll talk about you to the Father. You know, but if you don't talk about me and don't recognize, I'm not going to talk about, I don't know you. I won't talk about you to him. What he means is that's it. You're not getting into heaven. Amen? Because you have to not only believe in him, because the Bible says that even the devil believes, but you have to believe with your heart that he's your Savior. Amen? That he died for your sins, and that you're going to go to heaven because of that. Get him in your heart and in your life, and your life will change. And the most important thing is your eternal life will change. And that's what it's all about, because this life is so quick. We know we're living day to day and not really realizing that sun never stops circling the globe, night and day, night and day, night and day. And it's a fast process. But eternity is forever, amen. And so you have to be heavenly minded, thinking of heaven on a daily basis. And I do that. And there's times I'll say something or may out of order. The Lord wouldn't agree, obviously, you know. But I know that he has me, and he knows that I'm human. So you're going to make a mistake here and there. But the thing is to ask for forgiveness. And you say, how many times will he forgive you? The Bible says 70 times 7. 70 times 7. But really, it's just as infinite. It's what it was saying. So many times that you don't need to worry about it. Don't keep count. It just, if you're sincere and you ask for forgiveness, he's saying, I'm going to forgive you. You can reset this stage and go on from there. But the thing to do is to get strong with him. Because if you're just asking for forgiveness and then doing wrong and asking for forgiveness, you're growing none. You're not growing at all. You're not helping him. And the whole purpose of the kingdom is not being taken advantage of. It's just laying stale and dormant on you. Bible says, but the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. He called us into his eternal, that's forever, glory by Jesus Christ. After that, you have suffered for a while, he says, the Bible says, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. That's an act of God that is saying, hey, I've got salvation, I've got eternity for you. I sent my son to make sure that you get there. I love you. You're my children. You are loved right now. If you think no one loves you, if you think you're all alone, I'm saying you're loved right now by your Father. Your Father in heaven loves you. Regardless of how you've been living, regardless of what you may say, he loves you. He says that all be saved and none be lost. You're one of those none be lost. Amen. And he doesn't want that. We have that power of choice. And he wants to be surrounded by those who love him, those who prove that they love him, that it's real, genuine love. Then he wants to spend eternity with you. Come on in. But if you're trying to fake it, and just to be good around people like the Pharisees, you know, they know a lot. They could tell you, they tell me a lot more than I'd ever know about the Bible. But there's no heart there. You know, one thing about, say, the Scientology, and it's funny because, you know, Elvis Presley, when he was talking about Scientology, and Elvis was very religious, when he talked about Scientology, he said it's all head and no heart. And that sounds like the Pharisees. Only Scientology is worse because it misguides you, it takes you off the Bible. But it's all head and no heart. And what does that get you? You could be the smartest, most intelligent person in this world, most successful, but if you don't have Jesus in your heart, it ends when you die. It's all over when you die. Nothing can you take with you, and no glory and no rewards will you have if you did not live for the Lord, if you did not have him in your heart, if you did not make him king of your life. The Bible is no joke. The Word of God should be taken very seriously and applied to your daily life. It's because it's there to bless you, and it's there to guide you, to let you know that you're not thinking on yourself. It says, don't go by what you think, but go by what the Word of God says, amen. The Word of God is so powerful that Jesus himself quoted it many times. He said, for it is written. And this is some of the things that he said, for it is written. He quoted scripture. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. It says, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." And he said, "For it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." That's when he threw the tables up, because they were trying to make money off of sacrifices and charging, you know, right there at the gate. It was terrible, you know, but it was taking everything away from the entire thing that the gospel is that your heart, that comes out of your heart, not to please others, to say, "I'm this and I'm so, you know, godly and I go to church all that." It ain't for that at all. It's about your heart and how you treat others. How many times have I been to a church? And I've been to so many. In my own town, I've been to close to 40 churches. And so many times you get disappointed because you meet the pastor, and he maybe has some good words to say, but when you meet him, there's no love there. There's no love coming your way. There's no glad to see you. And that's that love that comes out, that godly love that's undeniable. And it's not there. You know, I went to recently to a funeral, and it was at a church, and they did everything to avoid me, everything to avoid eye contact, and it was of a different race, and it was pretty obvious to me that they were prejudiced and didn't like my color, and that's okay. But look, that's a, you know, that's a church that's trying to say that they stand on the morals of God and Jesus, but the very, very basic part of it is love, the very bottom. And if you don't have that, and you're busy as a church, favoring others and being prejudiced, then your church is not being blessed. You're lost, and you think that you're saved. Oh, you take a lie detector and see how much you serve the Lord and believe it yourself, but you're way off base if love isn't applied. Love has to be there. The people, the compliments I get when I help people on a daily basis, because my job, praise the Lord, puts me in that position, but it's because they see the love come through. They see that I care. I put myself in their position. When you put yourself in somebody else's position, they don't seem so awful. When you put it in their, when you put yourself in their position, you know, a lot of times you're not so quick to judge them, because you're more seeing what led them to where they're at. And not so quick just to say, "You're this," and, you know, and pounce on somebody, but to understand, you know, where they come from and why they are, and are you able to help them or not? And if you're serving the Lord, he's going to let you know. He's going to tell you, pray for them, do this, do that. And the Holy Spirit will tell you. Praise God. Okay, and let's see. John 14:15. I love the book of John. It says, If you love me, it's what he says, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So you love the Lord? Are you trying to keep his commandments at all? He says right there, if you do love me, you'll keep them. He says, after he says that, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. And what he's talking about the world not seeing is because they see with their eyes. They want to see with logic. They don't want to see with their heart, with their faith. And that's where Jesus comes in. You don't have logic and say that he exists. It's your faith. And then when you do that, he comes to you. He touches you, anoints your spirit, and then you know you're on the right track. You're not just believing into the air, but you're receiving something out of it. But he says that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, Bible says, for he dwelleth with you. If you're saved, you know him. You're saved, you feel that spirit when you receive the Lord, and that peaceful, that calmness, or exciting, or however he came to you. It's different ways. Amen. You know that he's real. And it says, for he shall dwell with you, and shall be in you. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You feel like no one's there and you're all alone? Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit's right there. You're not alone. You are loved. You're a wonderful person that can do great things no matter what you've done in the past. Because that's what he does. He takes the old you and gets rid of it. Burns out all those bad things that are useless. And then the only thing left, which you're serving the Lord, is what's pure. And that's what he works with. Amen. So he'll take you. He says, come to me as you are. Amen. And he will mold you. He will take you where you want to be. I'm ready to go to the Lord, but I got to stop drinking first. No, you don't. Go to him now. Go to him now. And he will work on you. Amen. That's what he says. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is better than a psychiatrist or, you know, psychologist or anything like that you're going to go see. It's right there. There's no 10-step program with him. Accept him into your heart and then watch him work wonders in your life. Amen. And it goes on to say in verse 20, it says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He says you're going to know this. I'm going to back up because I don't want you to, I know I've kind of got off point. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Okay? And he says that at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, how are you going to know that? It's because when you accept him in, the Holy Spirit comes to you, the Comforter. Then you know that he's real. Amen. Put your hands up and call on him. Keep him up till you feel him. He's going to come. Keep on. Read his book. Read that Bible. Read his word. He's going to come to you. You're going to know that he's real. Now that we get to the very important point that Jesus is about to make, and he ties, and this ties in to Jesus answering your prayers and giving you what you ask of him. This is verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I love him, and will manifest myself to him. You hear that? Manifest himself. He'll let you know that he's real. That's what he's saying. He that keep my commandments and keepeth them, you know, that they have them, that you know them and you keep them. He says that he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He does not lie. The Bible does not lie. He will come to you. Amen. Amen. Well, he's not going to leave you comfortless. No. What they say, hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. You may cry all night long thinking the Lord never heard you. But wake up and feel that peaceful, calm presence. Don't ever count the Lord out. Don't ever think that he's given up on you. Keep pressing through. The devil wants you to think that the Lord isn't real. The devil wants you to think that the Lord can't help you. Amen. But he can, and he's there for you, and he loves you. If your child was injured, or your child was needing help, you would help them. If you love your child, you'd help him. And that you're his child. You're God's child. And he will help you. Amen. Now that the Lord will answer your prayers, even if you've never served Jesus, never served him, or asked anything before him, he'll still answer your prayers. He will still be there. And maybe not even prayers that you realize, but he's still blessing your life. You know, and that's one of the ways that he uses for the lost to be found. You know, by hearing God, talking to him, and knowing just where you stand and what is most important to have in your life, as opposed to what we sometimes think we want, but ultimately what we think we want, God knows it will cause our spirit harm. You want to win the lottery, you know? He knows it's going to cause your spirit harm, and it's going to disrupt your relationship with Jesus. Not just the lottery, but I'm just saying in general. Everything has to be focused on the Lord, and then he'll take care of everything in your life. Make him first, amen, then he'll take care of you. And all these things that you're going through, because, look, you say, I don't know if he hears me, but the Bible says that he knows what you're going to say before you even say it. I mean, but you got to speak it. You got to say it. So he's there to listen to you. Jesus healed the sick by the thousands. They came from all over. He was the most popular man that ever lived. Imagine that. These thousands of people, and Jesus is there healing them. And look, there's no microphone. There's no stage and lights. One man, they can't all hear him. I got to believe that there is, I don't know, and some scholar might know more that studied this, but I got to believe that there's, Jesus is talking, and there's ones that are out in the crowd that are relaying the message to the one behind them. And further back, there's ones that hear that, a certain designated person that's relaying the message on back. I would believe that's how that would be. because how would they all know what he's saying? But all the same, it's coming to see him and hoping to get face to face with him and to be healed by him. And Jesus took his time and healed and healed and healed. He didn't walk away. He stayed there and he took care of those that are lost. And that's what he does. He loves you. His time is yours. He's right there. Don't worry about it. He says, I will come to you. He shows up to rescue you, to repair your life. You can mess it all up, all right? But he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We mess it up, and the master carpenter repairs it, makes us stronger than ever, so long as we turn to him and do his will by keeping his commandments. That's what he says. The Bible says that. You know, it's too easy for, and I just heard too many, they just think that just believing is enough and they can just live their life however they want. I believe in Jesus and I'm saved. And it's just, you know, you have to read the word to see. It's got to be in your heart. And I believe that you are saved. You'll know it for sure and won't guess it. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit will come to you and let you know that and comfort you. Okay, because your life can be out of order and you can be full of pain, lost and lonely. But when we call on his name, he listens. And even when we don't see it, he's already begun to work in our life. So I would say talk to him. Read his word. Make him the biggest part of your day. Bible says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. It's a two-part thing. You got to keep the word of the Lord. You got to keep it fresh. And how do you do that? You read it. Amen. Read on a daily basis. You're not a big reader. Read a verse. Hold it when you're not reading. Hold that Bible when you're not reading. Let the Lord get into your heart. My friend says, you know, that when he took his Bible and he put it under his pillow and he slept with it at night, he said he had just dreams that he just couldn't believe, that the Lord was giving him dreams. His mind was on the Lord, he's wanting to receive, and the Lord came to him in dreams. And he can come to you that way too, because he works through dreams. Amen. He works through all aspects of our lives to whatever it takes to let you know he's real, to let you know that he's there for you. Amen. Our strength is the Holy Spirit. Our comfort comes from him. The voice you hear when God speaks to you is the Holy Spirit. Matthew 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, how is he going to teach you anything if he's not real? How is he going to teach you anything if he doesn't talk to you? He talks to you. You got to get quiet and listen. Continue to talk to the Lord. Continue to seek him. If you're not hearing him, you're going to. Amen. It's that heart that's looking for him, that's hungering for him, that he wants to feed. We're not alone in this world, and we don't need to worry about the things of this world. The Holy Spirit is there to live in you and all around you. The divine blood of the Lamb is in your soul when you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Divine blood in your soul. Imagine that. That's eternal. And he says, the Comforter I will send in my name, and all the power of Jesus is ours for the taking. Amen. With the Comforter there, and listen to that Lord, and listen to that Holy Spirit, and doing his will. And when we fast, we're able to bring that power stronger, able to heal others by laying on of hands. And that's faith. Faith is believing. Faith is healing. Faith is fixing your finances. Faith is repairing lost and broken relationships. Faith is giving you peace. Your faith is the key to your peace. Do you believe? How much do you believe? According to your faith, he says. As according to your faith, be it unto you. So, and when he was coming to this house, and the Bible says, and when he was coming to this house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. So the closer we get to Jesus, the more we see that he really does what he says he's going to do. And the stronger our faith grows. Amen. So the question is you know, when does God's blessings come to you? And the answer is do you believe according to your faith? Ask and believe, knowing that he's real. And the more you read, the more you start to see, and the more you believe. There's so many ways to approach that, but on a daily basis, it's so important to ask for forgiveness of your sins, to pray for others that are in your life that you know they're going through things, and to pray for those that you just absolutely cannot stand, those that cause you harm, pray for them. The Bible says to pray for your enemies. Amen. So to do that, have that loving heart. Praise the Lord. Here's an awesome God, and this is a song that's from a friend of mine, and he's passed, but awesome God, Tom Evans. I love this song, and just let it minister to your spirit.
You lift me up out of the rain, you ease my mind when I go insane. Dust me off and give me strength. Give me a voice so I can sing about my God. What an awesome God. In the good times and the bad, you are my God. What an awesome God. Give me peace like I've never had.
Comfort you, the comforter. So if you're in pain, or if you're feeling lost, or you don't seem to have any direction, call on the Lord. Let him guide your feet. Read your Bible. Get close to him. He's there for you. He loves you. And your life will be different and better because of it. Amen. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening today, and I sure appreciate you. And I know that Jesus loves you. So I pray for everybody that's listening. In Jesus' name, Lord, ask that you lay your powerful healing hands upon them, Lord. Let them receive all that they're needing. In your name I pray. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.